Welcome to Hashtag Finance Master, a weekly show where Anders Leo Lindberg discusses the latest trends in finance and accounting with a global audience via LinkedIn audio. Recorded live, anyone can tune in and take part. Just raise your hand and share the stage. Will you join Anders next time? For now, kick back, relax, and enjoy this week's show.
Welcome everyone to episode 7 of the Hashtag Finance Master Show. We continue the discussion on finance versus data and analytics. And today's topic is really to, let's say, end the war or call a truce between these two teams in the company. The format is you can raise your hand, come up on stage, share a perspective or ask a question. And I'll be going through this blog from this morning called Let's End the War Between Finance and Data Analytics. So over the course of this series, we've been exploring the growing importance of data analytics as a function and as a skill set, and considering the ways in which data analytics interacts with the finance function. And of course, me coming from the finance function, this is an area I have a particular interest in, because what I've seen is that in some, I don't know to which extent this is happening, but in some companies, the finance team and the data analytics team are fighting in terms of how fast can they bring insights to the stage, to business leaders, to help them make better decisions. And as we discussed in one of the previous shows, too often data analytics, they will win because they look at business data that's typically available in a more free flow format. It's available earlier than the financial data. And if the finance teams are only looking at finance data, you're always going to be late to the table. As we've seen, data analytics teams have a lot to, let's say, teach traditional finance professionals, in particular, taking a more agnostic approach in which anything can be measured, where flexibility is key. Excellent lesson for finance teams that are sort of stuck in the cycle of reporting the same old metrics. There is so much more to the finance function than this. And while I haven't worked in a data analytics team myself, I don't think my skill set is probably suited well for that, I've definitely seen the impact of simply moving from just looking at the financials to looking at business metrics, because it pulls forward your ability to have important discussions with business leaders. It helps them better understand in more real terms, what do they need to do differently? Because the financials, they're historical numbers, some would say even archaic, and they come to the table quite late. So once we come with the insights, business leaders have very often moved on. They're already in the next month, not worrying about what's happening in the past month. But it really is about insight above everything else. The most important learning is that the data itself isn't so important, just as the old context-free finance reporting is not particularly useful to modern businesses. Data only becomes useful when it can be put in the service of insight generation, ultimately, when it can be used to create better business outcomes. That's the value creation that we're looking for from data analytics and, in principle, also from the finance teams. The major barrier to this from data analytics team is kind of like an inability to communicate their findings to the business functions in ways that make sense, because they are often deep technical specialists. They know math, statistics, coding very well. Maybe they can discuss business with business leaders, but only a few. So if you only know your technical specialism, it can be difficult for business leaders to understand what it is that you're bringing to the table. And this is a problem that the finance function has come up against repeatedly. And it's precisely the issue at the heart of that, what I call finance function 4.0. In modern business, finance professionals need to understand that their job isn't restricted to the traditional finance skill set. Of course, they need a firm grasp of the numbers. They also need soft skills that are so crucial today. And these include communication, which is a common red thread throughout all the articles in this series here, Finance versus Data Analytics, and has been talked about in all the shows so far. Creative thinking and a holistic approach to that job. All right, so the analytics teams bring a deep specialism in terms of analyzing large data sets, finding trends and patterns that can be useful to solve business problems. finance teams, yes, they can analyze the finance data, but they have also spent more time honing in on communication skills and learning to communicate to business leaders in ways that they understand. So there is a lot of potential and opportunity for these teams to work together rather than be unified. And I'll just make a pause here to see if anyone in the audience has the question to ask or wants to come up to share perspective. All you need to do is raise your hand and then I'll bring you up on stage. Eric is coming up here. Welcome, Eric. Great to have you here again. You were appearing on the very first episode of the Hashtag Finance Master Show, so it's always great to bring people back. Maybe just introduce yourself to the audience here, then share your perspective.
Sure. I'm Eric Zambit. I am the Director of Financial Planning and Analysis at United Road Services, and we are a Finnish logistics company. Essentially, we haul cars all over the United States and Canada. We're owned by private equity. So, Andrew, first, I just wanted to say, I saw the post this morning, and I loved what somebody posted. They said, there is no war. And then he followed up to say, well, there isn't because our analytics team and finance all goes to the CFO. So I thought that was fantastic. My organization, finance really is the, I would say, the true analytics department, but we share this with our IT group. We spend, I would say, like 80% of our time really on stuff that's outside of typical finance data, stuff that's not in the P&L and the balance sheet. We're in operational data, we're in HR data, Salesforce, just about everything. So we already have that skill set, but there is still this sort of going back and forth as to who should sort of own the analytics piece as the face of the business at the end of the day. So I understand the concept here, and it is true that many organizations struggle with this. Does it live under the CFO? Does it live under IT? And there has to be some sort of balance, but we're still discussing those things. It's a very, very interesting topic.
Thanks a lot for sharing, Eric, and also referring to the comment that was made on the post this morning. So we had the Venkatesh commercial manager at Vodafone Group saying there is no war. And exactly like you're saying, why is that the case? He said, we have a separate department for data analytics, and we both roll up to the CFO, and then he asks, finally. And I think if it's all housed under the same roof, makes perfect sense to me, because then we can decide and prioritize as a department how to best use the resources and where we should throw the analytical capabilities at. And also love what you're saying, Eric, that we spend most of your time actually working with non-financial data. And that's also what I try to push finance professionals towards. Spend 80% of your time on the business data, and then maybe 20% of the financials. And why is that? It's because business data is leading indicator for financial data. So as long as we work on improving the business metrics, then all things equal, the financial metrics should also improve. Of course, if over time you see a disconnect and one is moving in one direction and the other in the other direction, then you need to look at the financials and understand who posted that accrual wrong or whatever else went wrong. We need to be able to explain that. But spend as much of your time as possible on working with the business metrics. That's where the value is really being driven from. So thanks for sharing that perspective as well, Eric.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me up.
No problem. And if you want to do like Eric and come and share a perspective or ask a question, you can raise your hand and I will bring you up. Let's continue for a little bit here. So my take is, let's work together. Let finance and data analytics teams work together. Because the last mile issue that we explored in our last show last week, which comes from Brent Dyke's The Analytics Marathon, where he talks about the last mile of sharing the insights and actually taking action and getting business results. That's really where the challenge is for, especially the analytics teams, but also some of the finance teams we work with. Gathering data and generating insights is fine, and there are many highly skilled people available to us to do that. The challenge comes when we try to make ourselves understood by our stakeholders. And I see many finance presentations as well. And if I was a business leader looking at that, I would simply give up. Because it's rows and rows and rows and columns and columns and columns of numbers. Even if they have a bit of coloring and explanation, it's too much. So we need to communicate differently. So how do we achieve this without completely changing the way our functions operate? Cooperation is, of course, key. And what I've been advocating also for in this series here is that we kind of need a compatibility layer to enable specialist functions to interact with each other in a shared language. data lakes and the finance function are obvious, they're called bedfellows, and a great place to start when it comes to encouraging interdisciplinary collaboration. If we get our relationship right, finance gets the relationship right with DLA, we can then scale that model up across the entire organizations. So what is this layer that needs to be on top of the finance analytics and the data analytics teams? It's, of course, the business partner. If you have, in this case, finance business partners that know how to speak the language of the business and know how to speak in technical language of both finance and data analytics, you have a person here that can really interact with and engage with business leaders in a way that they understand. They will bring the data and the insights to life rather than it being left in the dust in a report that no one understands. The business partner model is about collaboration, insight generation, and the translation of specialist knowledge into information that can be used and acted upon by non-specialist stakeholders. It's really that simple. And I'm not saying the job itself is necessarily simple. It can be a challenging role for sure, but that's the job. If we can do that, we can harness the power of data analytics and augment it with the, let's say, crucial oversight role that I think the finance function should perform. And then we'll unleash the combined power throughout all organizations. Then we can transform businesses for the better and not just drive value creation, and also run our businesses more sustainably and be more in sync, so to speak, with where society is moving. So it's not just about the value creation, which of course is important, but it's so many other things we can achieve through this. So I'll just pause here again to see if someone wants to share a perspective or ask a question. Feel free to raise your hand and do so.
As long as I think we are in sync with each other and on the same road and saying the same story, it's just going to be a better benefit to the company. So at least that's my perspective. So again, it's all about balance and kind of making sure that we're in sync with each other. And however you achieve that in your organization, fantastic.
Great stuff, Eric. And I think it goes for many functions in the company, right? It's not just finance and analytics. I'm sure many would say if sales and marketing would just be better synced with each other, things would work better. Or if sales and operation would be better synced with each other, then we can actually deliver what we sell and so on and so on. So it's, of course, not just an issue for finance and analytics. It's between many different functions. And obviously, being able to collaborate will help everyone deliver much more value in the company.
Sorry, I was just going to agree with you. And I would say, but whoever is that function, whether it's finance or data analytics, they should be that bridge. They should be the bridge between operations and sales, and HR is within that function. Pricing is within that function. Pricing, and if pricing shouldn't roll, in my opinion, to sales, and it doesn't in my organization, but just having everybody in sync, but somebody has to be that bridge across the organization. Whether it's data analytics or finance, my opinion, finance is well positioned to do that, but somebody has to bridge that gap.
Yeah, no, fully agree, Eric. Then taking the opportunity to welcome Alexander on the stage. Alexander, welcome. Please introduce yourself and share your perspective or ask a question.
Yeah, hi, I'm Alex Kraft. I run finance transformation for Babylon Health, which is a tech health company. And just to say, what I found is because I'm trying to get our reporting more automated, free up time, the finance team, and use more data analytics, KPIs, and business drivers. But what I'm finding, and it was interesting what Eric said with bridging that gap, is that I'm finding that it is a different skill set and it is a different behavior with the team, because a lot of accountants are attracted to it because there's order. And then when you start bringing in the business metrics, there's a bit more chaos. And so what I'm having to do is use our data science team and our data analytics team to, like Eric says, bridge that gap, but to upskill my finance team and my accountants on to embrace that chaos a bit more, because it's not quite as black and white as having your balance sheet balance or your P&L in order.
when you go more towards business metrics, it becomes a bit more chaotic. And that's also why I typically say to finance professionals, stop thinking in this kind of like 99% mindset that everything needs to be 99% correct before you want to present something. The world doesn't work like that. Go with 80%, sometimes 60%. Otherwise, you're going to be late to the table every time. And we need to become comfortable in ubiquity or chaos, as you call it, Alex. And if you don't, then yeah, we probably need to stay in our finance cubicle and do the work that's left to do there. I'm also bringing Achille up. I'm really curious to hear what he has to say because I know he works a lot in data analytics. Achille, welcome to the stage. Feel free to introduce yourself and share your perspective or ask a question.
Thanks very much for having me. Very interesting conversation. I'm curious to get or to see the view on what people think if an organization's maturity and culture impact the relationship between finance and data analytics. And I'll just preface that with my experience. I worked in larger organizations in Canada, and I find that from my experience, where processes are mature and the culture is more developed and refined, working together with finance and data analytics groups is a lot easier than per se, I'm not going to say a startup or a younger company, not further along in the maturity of the organization where it is chaotic, people wear many hats, roles aren't generally defined. I'm just curious to see what people think about that.
Great topic to bring up. And I think there's sort of multiple dimension to it, at least from my perspective. But I agree, if you have a blue chip company where everything just works, then it's typically easier for the teams to figure out who needs to do what. And there's a better prioritization of the resources. Whereas in startup, it's probably likely that you have an accountant, and then you might have if it's a tech startup, you probably have a data analytics team before you have a big finance team. And then when the finance team comes on later, if you're successful in the building that company, it probably is challenging for these teams to work together because the DNA team is already established. But I think there's another dimension playing into this as well, and that's the, especially the bigger companies, the brand of the finance team. So the finance team has a strong brand. I'm sure it's easier to work together with the analytics team because they're established as the business partner. But if they have a weak brand and they haven't established themselves as a business partner, my take is that they will more often than not be run over by the DNA team and struggle to have any real impact. So I think there's those two aspects to it, Achille. But thanks a lot for coming to share that perspective. So I'm just going to round off the whole article series that we've been running here. You're also welcome to raise hand, come up and ask a question in the Q&A session here. And then I'll just spend a minute looking ahead towards what's coming in the next coming weeks. So over the last quite a few weeks, actually, we have just come at the topic of finance versus data analytics. But we started out with an article saying finance and data analytics, they are better together. And I think that's been the governing theme throughout these talks here. We talked about if your company needs a data analytics team, and many companies today will definitely need those because they have the skill set to deep dive into the numbers, which most finance professionals, they don't, or they would need to spend a lot more time doing it. We also talked about if finance professionals and accountants can do data analytics, and of course they can, but they need to learn a new skill set first. It's not just a seamless switch from one to the other. We've also discussed why data analytics teams, we basically said always wins in the article, but because they're always earlier with the insights than the finance team. If they don't work together, then business leaders will definitely see the DNA team as the ones that are always bringing the insights and the finance team that are the laggards, not really bringing much value to the table. We've also talked about where the analytics should be owned or housed in the organization. I think it should belong in the finance organization, but of course there's different views on that. Some would say IT, I think that's a bad idea. Others would say that the different business teams need their own DNA team. And that could of course also be a case for that. Then last week, we started to discuss why DNA teams struggle with the last mile of impact. So to communicate the insights and ensure these are acted upon. And today we have talked about ending the war between these teams and really helping them work better together. And I just want to round off the series here by looking ahead. We have planned a few interviews with data analytics thought leaders, finance professionals who are working together with DNA teams. And I think we are also going to land an interview with a former DNA leader at both Uber and Apple. So there are some exciting interviews coming up in the podcast and in the Finance Masters show. We will next week start a new series, but continuing in the same red thread, talking about Brent Dyke's analytics marathon, where we'll go through each of the stages in sort of his famous picture. You've probably seen it. Of course, he's also written a lot more about it. So we'll cover those from a finance perspective. And then Brent has promised me also an interview for the podcast. Let's see if we can also get it on the show here as well. But rounding off, thanks a lot to Eric, to Alex, and to Achille for being on stage, for making this show a great listen. Without you, it would be just me sitting here speaking to a blog post, and I'm sure that would be less interesting. So thanks a lot for now. See you next week. Bye, everyone.
You've been listening to Hashtag Finance Master, a weekly show recorded live on LinkedIn Audio. Don't forget to subscribe to stay updated on the latest trends in finance and accounting. And why not join Anders every Thursday on LinkedIn to share your own views and appear in the next episode?